Genesis 3:9. And the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" How many of you know God knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was? And he said, "Where are you?" And so Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And God said to him, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you..." Notice, I want you to real quickly see the quickness of unrighteousness. The moment sin gets in, it's working whether you see it or not. And notice the quickness that of a righteous man. I mean, he was more righteous than all of us until Jesus came. And quickly, the first thing he did was he began to look at himself instead of look at God. One of the first things that sin does. I saw myself. My focus now was on me. The second thing that happens when you sin is you run from God. You start getting away from Papa. I went and hid myself. That's why I love Hebrews. It says that we come boldly into the throne of grace. You've done everything right. You don't need grace. Grace is when you've done it wrong. And so the writer of Hebrews says that you can come in to the throne of God, which is the throne of grace, and you can walk in boldly even though you've messed up. Why? Because you understand it's grace. Quickly, we see the downfall of man. I told you the other week that Adam was born again backwards. We go from sin to righteousness. Adam went from righteousness to sin. So immediately, he started looking at himself. Number two, he started running from God. The third thing he started doing was he tried to justify himself. You begin to look at yourself, you begin to hide from God, and then the third thing you do in sin is you try to justify your actions. And how do you justify your actions? You justify your actions by trying to point out somebody else's faults. Because what we're really doing when we point our finger at somebody else is we're trying to make them look worse so we look better. So we start pointing the finger at somebody else and we try to... And so Adam said, "Well, you know, that woman did it." And so God kind of played along, if you let me say this. Because he turned to the woman. And he said, "Why'd you do this?" She said, "Well, that serpent." Justifying yourself by making someone else look bad. Amen. This passage right here is like the starting line for the rest of the 65 books that follow Genesis. And the rest of the Bible is all about one thing. God's glory has been attacked and he's going to get it back to earth. God took the initiative to fix things because it was him that was ultimately attacked. God began to deal in the order of disobedience. So he started with the serpent. Go with me in verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." And notice capital S on seed. "And he," capital H, "shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." At this point, God is speaking to the actual species of the serpent, but he's also speaking to Satan himself. So he's speaking to an animal and he's speaking to a devil at the same time. I've done studies on this, and if you ever notice, if you look at a bottom of a serpent, that it looks like he's got legs inside of his body. Scientists believe that at one time the serpent had legs. According to the Bible, he did. And basically, God said, "Eat dust." And so at that point, another one bit the dust. And what "eat dust" basically means in Hebrew is it means from this day. Now, you got to get this. Remember, he's talking to the devil and he's talking to serpent. But he's really prophesying to the devil, because "eat dust," that phrase, "you will eat dust," to a Hebrew means you will be totally humiliated. Well, don't miss this. God just told the devil, from this time forward, you are going to be totally humiliated. You're going to crawl on your belly, snake. But to you, devil, I'm telling you, you're going to go as low as you can go. Amen. And then he said this, and not only that, but I'm going to put a wedge, a hatred, an enmity between you and a woman. Now, if you're in here tonight and you're not married yet and you're dating a girl who likes snakes, run. Run, bullseye. Run, forest. Run, whatever. But run, because she is totally going against what God said would be the norm for a lady. He said, I'm going to put something in a lady that's going to cause her to hate snakes. I heard a story the other night, and I thought about this lesson. There was a woman who had a python for a pet. And she slept with this python. And she began to notice that the python stopped eating its food, but it was getting larger every day. So finally she asked the veterinarian, my pet is not eating, but it's getting larger. Why? And the vet said, because he's preparing to eat you. So he is stretching himself so your body will be able to fit into his. And this was her response. That would never happen. He loves me. And I thought, let her read Genesis chapter 3. Because God was saying this, in the natural to a snake, I am going to put a hatred in women against snakes. But in the spirit realm, get this, in the spirit realm, I'm going to put a barrier, a hatred in a woman against the enemy and darkness like never before. And why is it so important? Because the women are the ones that are able to produce seed. The women are the ones that have a womb, and they're supposed to produce generation after generation that's supposed to be like God. And so God was saying that I'm going to put a hatred in a woman against sin, because when you go to touch her children, something's coming on her and you don't want to mess with a praying mama. Can I get an amen from the ladies tonight? It's not just, ladies, that you hate snakes. It's the fact that you hate the devil messing with your youngins. And so when that comes on you, you need to understand this was prophesied back in Genesis 3. That's it. And women are seed carriers. And so he comes along and says this. I will put enmity between you and the woman, number one, but then between your, he's talking to the devil, between your seed and her seed, capital S. Here's why I said this was the starting gate for the rest of the Bible. God the Father is beginning at this moment to give a covenant prophetic promise. Those three words are important. A covenant prophetic promise that a deliverer is coming.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to send a deliverer. Amen. Who's going to destroy and humiliate the devil.
Amen.
And the rest of the Bible is the path in the Old Testament, is the path of trying to find that deliverer.
Amen.
And so he speaks to the serpent first and he says, Because you deceived the woman, I'm going to put enmity there. But there's going to be redemption between the woman and God. And I love this part. Three words. I will put. In other words, I'm guaranteeing this ain't what Adam's going to do. This is not what the woman's going to do. I'm going to humiliate the devil. Amen. He said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. And then second, he says, I'm going to put enmity between the woman's seed and Satan. Notice he didn't say seeds. He said seed, singular. This singular seed is going to destroy the devil's seed. This was the ultrasound. He didn't say she. He said he will destroy your seed. Amen. He's prophesying. A man is going to be born. Amen. To destroy your seed. Amen. Now this is the interesting thing. I want you to get this. He prophesies suffering. Because he says the seed, capital S, Satan, you will bruise his heel. But he will crush your head. Amen. I'm just going to take a moment to deal with this because it's real elementary. You can live with a bruised heel. Amen. If I took a hammer and hit you in the heel, it would not kill you. But if I take a hammer and bust you in the head, you're gone. Head also represents, to a Hebrew, authority. And so he was saying, you're going to nip at his heels, but he's going to take your authority. According to Roman crucifixion, number one, the pictures that many of us have seen all our life, I hate to mess up your religion, but the pictures we've seen of crucifixion do not look like the real crucifixion of Roman crucifixion. I've studied this. First of all, the Romans would strip you completely naked to humiliate. Jesus hung naked on the cross. Totally humiliated. And they didn't drive the nails through the top of your feet like most of our pictures. They would literally turn your leg sideways and drive the nail through your heel. If you'll feel in your foot right here, there's like a little V. And they'll drive that nail right through your heel. And the way you died was you would press to get air. And that's why they broke the thieves' legs so they couldn't breathe anymore. Because hanging on the cross, you would... And every time you pulled up, that nail in your heel would just grind in your body. And so they wanted to hurry up and kill them. So they broke their legs so they wouldn't be able to lift up anymore and they'd strangulate. And so the devil did bruise Jesus' heel. But then he crushed his head. Amen. And that's why today Paul says like this, and the God of peace shall surely crush Satan under your feet.